Hello and welcome to another episode of Experience Matters, that podcast that gets really under the skin of why brand interactions are just really important to get right. I'm your host, Mark Bell, and today we're delving into that really interesting subject that everybody seems to be talking about, artificial intelligence and AI. There's a great company we've been working with called Clean AI, and today I'm lucky enough to be joined by Tim Williams, their VP of Growth. Welcome to Experience Matters, Tim.
Thank you very much, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
We'd just like to talk a little bit more around Clean AI, what they do and how they approach the world of AI.
Sure. We're a data intelligence solution. We leverage a lot of AI out-of-the-box models, and we have custom data science that can be applied to those models, and we look at a various different pain points and challenges of our customers and typically just help them, you know, advance their sort of data and AI journey.
Brilliant, and very closely related to Experience Matters and therefore what makes a brilliant kind of interaction for those brands. So how did your journey begin with AI?
Yeah, it's a good question. My background has actually been in sort of data analytics for about 20 plus years. Used to run an influencer marketing software business, so was always been involved with algorithms and trying to make best use of data. And I think joining Clean AI, it's just, you know, propelled that into how to work with AI to move it into predictive intelligence. And so that's the really exciting part, you know, why I joined Clean and what Clean's trying to sort of help a lot of their customer base you know, sort of grapple with. I know it's a space which is evolving so fast. So really, just to give my kind of like experience, I've been like a cynical sort of observer of AI, and I really like the practical examples. So that's like how I approached it.
Brilliant. And this whole idea of predictive intelligence is really interesting. And I think kind of we've been talking for a couple of minutes already and we've kind of assumed the word of AI. It would be good to kind of understand, what's your definition of AI?
Yeah, I try and like demystify it a bit. I think that when people are talking about AI now, everyone's mind goes straight through to sort of ChatGPT and sort of generative AI, and that's the one that people are now talking about over the past like 4 or 5 years. But we approach it with much more of sort of a traditional data science and machine learning background. And so I think, you know, those are the sort of two types of AI that I talk about. And I think that there's very different use cases. And so I always like to talk about the type of AI for a particular person to achieve X, Y, and Z, so that actually everyone can contextualize what this means. You know, when I talk to CFOs, for example, I think they just get zoned out by the buzzword of AI, and actually I do quite a lot. So I really try and bring it down to a practical level quite quickly so that we're all sort of talking about the same kind of thing.
And just expand a little bit more out on that practical level. I really liked what you said around data intelligence and stuff like that, but it'd be good to know a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, really we're looking at a lot of manual and repetitive tasks that organizations are doing, and looking at how we can automate those, but then how we can model the data and transform the data in a way which you can sort of test certain hypotheses or just work out how you can eliminate some of the mundane and the sort of administrative tasks that a lot of people are going through, and then go to much more sort of strategic insights from the data. So a couple of examples would be, you know, if you take a sort of a real practical finance example, there's lots of reporting that finance professionals are using still in spreadsheets. And they're asking a lot of questions and looking at all their different branches or stores if you're in retail, and asking the same questions across maybe like 1,000 stores. Obviously, automating this can enable people to set up alerts when by asking those particular strategic questions, but just in an automated fashion. So it just enables them to eliminate human error, to be able to play through an automated process how they think, and also alert them to any anomalies that would be thrown up. So that suddenly transforms the finance function from actually quite a mundane and repetitive task into actually looking forward at how they can use this intelligence to actually run the business better.
Fantastic. And my mind is just going crazy kind of with that example. And obviously it improves the accuracy as well of being able to identify those things across a retail network. How easy is it all to set up? Is it something that can be done kind of overnight, or does it take weeks to do?
Yeah, I think to do something like that, it's more 2 to 3 months. And really, because we're a data company, and I think, you know, I think we're going to speak a bit about this, but it's actually trying to sort of, I think the common misconception of AI is that it's going to sort out all of your data. And you're going to be able to start moving to that predictive intelligence pretty quickly. Actually, you really need to look at the quality of your data first. And so there is an exercise with any organization to be able to look at what data you do have and start bringing in all these different data systems and data points, and look at how you can model those and start asking the really strategic questions of the data. So that typically takes about 2 to 3 months for you to move into more of a like a, to move from your what has happened to what will happen and what, you know, key decisions can we make now to actually optimize where we want to go as a business.
That's brilliant. And interesting then kind of the focus on the data, and obviously that's very much your role. But who do you think in organizations is owning AI? I think you mentioned the CFO earlier. You know, where does the conversation start?
I love this question because it reminds me of similar questions which I used to get in social media like over the past like 10, 15 years, and I'm sure you've had the same question posed to you. You know, there are social media teams who own social media, but social media is part of everyone's lives. Yeah. And I think AI is the same. Clearly, there will be some kind of ownership from an IT perspective. I think it really needs to have a commercial sponsor and someone that knows what the sort of business ROI of that you know, can achieve. And then it tends to be the sort of individual functions and teams that obviously like would like to leverage it. So for example, it could be a marketing director that wants to buy an AI solution, but the CFO would start extrapolating what the business ROI would be with the marketing director, and the IT director obviously would look at it from an implementation point of view. And I think there's a big question for businesses around buy versus build, because there's now a lot of out-of-the-box AI solutions, but there's also what are we doing internally to look at this as a strategy.
Brilliant. It's the age-old question of when you look at a customer experience of who actually owns it with an organization, and it's so interesting you made that relationship back to social media and also from a company's website. You know, is it owned by the marketing team? Is it owned by the product team? And hopefully we will see the rise of the chief customer officer and somebody that can, you know, to what you're saying, really understand the metrics needed to prove the value that we're giving back to customers, yet at the same time talk to the marketing team, talk to the product team, and talk to the innovation team. Super interesting.
And just on that point, if I may, I think when you're a relatively small organization, if you're maybe 20 to 50 million and you can get together relatively easily as teams, then you should have product, marketing, like IT, like CFO, also in the rooms of working on these particular projects, especially when it comes to customer experience, because I think there's a massive opportunity in personalization. Yeah. When you get to much larger businesses that are obviously more siloed in nature, it's much harder to bring together. Then that's where, you know, it sometimes is less collaborative and obviously more of a challenge to be able to get all those people in the same room.
Yeah. Are you seeing interesting ways in which people are measuring the ROI of AI and how it's applied? You mentioned the example earlier around kind of a retail network and making that more seamless, but is there any more kind of specific areas you've seen around measurement of AI?
Yeah, I think there's three areas which we see a lot of applications. And, you know, at Clean, we work with a lot of retail businesses, but we also work with some B2B, you know, financial services, manufacturing, lots of different types of sectors. When it comes to customer experience, we think there's just that massive opportunity in personalization, as I said, and to be able to stitch together some of the browsing data, how people convert from websites, all the sort of granular touch points that customers have on the way to actually purchasing, to be able to put that all together and to be able to communicate through your sort of, it could be email marketing, for example, or something relatively simple like that, to be able to personalize your email communications based upon their previous behaviours and experiences and preferences, I think is the massive opportunity in customer experience. And obviously that does require a lot of different data points to be modelled together into like a single source of truth, so you can actually start driving that predictive intelligence.
That's brilliant. And is it going to hopefully get a lot better? The classic use case of you buy a loo seat from Amazon and you forever therefore recommended future loo seats. Do you see the intelligence really coming through in that kind of recommendation and personalization to customers?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's going to advance so much more than that. And I think it's about what data you can bring into the organization. We speak to a lot of heads of data and CDOs, and they seem to be the one at the heart of the conversation who everyone looks at and says, can we get this kind of data? And actually a lot of the times when we're working with organizations, there's actually someone with a commercial, typically the commercial sponsor, going around lots of people saying, where do I find this data? Because I know we have it, but which system is it in? How do I get hold of it? How do I then connect it up to that? And then obviously once you've got the intelligence, how do you then push it back into systems where you can action that particular intelligence? Because once you've got the personalization of, talking about that, if you bought a loo seat, like, are you going to sell them other stuff? Or what is that customer journey look like? Then you've obviously got to start bringing it down into the practical nature of, okay, when are you going to send an email to them? Is it going to be Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon? What works best? How do you use cohort analysis to be able to start segmenting these, and actually what can we do as a business? Because sometimes you get these £150 million businesses that are treating customers all the same, which is absolutely crazy. And the demographics of these customers are completely different.
That's amazing. And you reminded me then of, I think I saw a stat somewhere that Monday lunchtime is always the best time to send out an email. Apparently that's when people are most attentive from coming back from the work. And trust me, it's true. Come 1 o'clock on a Monday lunchtime, you'll see a lot of emails come into your inbox. And that's kind of this leading towards a slight worry around AI and the ethical use. And do you think there's enough within data protection laws to protect people and their data and how AI is then playing it back to them?
That is a fantastic question. And I think there's an EU Act coming out soon on AI. And that's going to include a lot of guidelines for companies to follow. There's definitely, at Clean, we have to be very, very thoughtful on not incorporating any biases into our models. There's obviously the concept of whether you're threatening jobs. We like to look at this as elevating people's careers and experiences rather than, clearly if you implement a solution and two people are doing that full time, then some people are looking at operational efficiencies. But actually, I think even though that's true, we don't really see people making those kind of decisions. It's more, how do we take someone and be much more strategic, and how do we just all evolve together?
Yeah.
There's definitely loads of ethical parts. There's also, where do you get your data from? How you treat those. There's lots of out-of-the-box AI models that vendors can incorporate, but then use custom data science. So I think it's plagued with complexities, and I think that EU Act is going to be really, really important to actually provide some guidelines so that companies can actually start adhering or making sure that vendors are complying with those particular guidelines.
And that's great. And that point around kind of replacing jobs, what I'm seeing is AI is enabling us to do focus in, as you're saying, on the more strategic kind of roles and not actually kind of replace us, but just shift our time elsewhere to other areas. Hopefully, we've inspired conversation here, and people are thinking about AI and they're maybe using it at the moment. Where do you think they should start? Is it simply picking up the phone and calling Clean AI?
Well, I'm a big believer in just giving practical steps for organizations to take some, to be able to internally make some progress without speaking to vendors or agencies. Obviously, vendors and agencies provide a lot of value, but I think it's also important to start in-house, to start talking about what your strategy is first. And I would say that there's there's cost or complexity with the different types of AI you can bring in, and there's also, you know, looking at, you know, what the business growth goals are and what are the key data challenges that is holding you back, and where could AI support some of those most important growth goals. So you can actually start looking at it from a business standpoint, or within certain teams, like what is holding us back, what is there out of the box to be able to sort of help us do our jobs better. So for example, in marketing, you've got ChatGPT, and you've got opportunities to create content or have a co-pilot to be able to assist you to do that. I'm a big believer in, clearly everyone's talking about co-pilots, but I don't write any of my content with ChatGPT. But if I wanted certain ideas for content, then I would just probably run it through ChatGPT to be able to just see what it comes up with and validate that against my current thinking. So I think that that's an example of something which is very low cost, it's not complex, and it immediately drives value. And then there's going to be really, really high cost, your massive ROI, and these like big projects. So I think the practical steps are to start working out all the different opportunities and picking off some of the low-hanging fruit. And AI is evolving so fast that even things which aren't possible now, that next step is probably going to be achieved over the next couple of years. So you've seen with ChatGPT, you know, version 3, 4, latest versions, that it improves the quality at each particular time. So I think it's really just about being on that, I hate to say journey because it sounds a bit corny, but mm-hmm. just incorporating it, testing that next level, and just being part of that discovery journey, but then just picking off that low-hanging fruit. And so having that internal strategy, then you can obviously speak to agencies and vendors and see what can happen. And I would say just explore, but be very mindful of what the objectives are and your timelines around that.
Cool. Something I really picked up that you were just saying then around actually how you use AI to validate your thoughts as opposed to generate your thoughts. And I think that's a really important point, and certainly something we're iCrossing doing is, you know, we're still, you know, creativity is still at the heart of what we do. But if needed, then you can actually explore how you take that creativity further as opposed to using it to define the creativity.
Exactly. And if I give you two more examples of where I think there's a massive opportunity within AI, and especially the use cases that we see with our clients. One is around marketing spend optimization, marketing attribution. So it's a significant challenge, as I'm sure you know. I know you have lots of conversations at iCrossing with your client base around how they can optimize marketing spend, and obviously what is the return on investment or return on ad spend across the different platforms. What does good look like? You know, things are changing all the time. So I think being able to layer in top of the funnel, you know, brand marketing, looking at affiliates, looking at influencers, looking at post-purchase surveys, all this kind of stuff, Bringing it into the overall conversation so that people are having meaningful conversations about what's working and what's not, I think that's really, really important. But to your point about whether that should drive all of your investment in marketing, I don't think that's the case. I think you've got hypotheses such as, when we do a big brand campaign and we do this particular advertising, we normally see this particular outcome. So what you can do is you can test hypotheses and you can start training the model to look at, okay, when we run a big brand campaign, which might be impressions related, but how is that going to affect the bottom of the funnel advertising? So that might be a hypothesis that everyone's got a gut feeling, or if you speak to your clients, they might say, everyone knows that when we run this, this happens, but there's no data to back that up. So I think it's about taking those hypotheses, running them through the model, and then actually seeing what that halo effect has been from things which are typically hard to measure, then seeing how they affect other activities, which is a real challenge for brands, and then starting to say, okay, now that we can measure the uplift on, you know, that particular activity, what should we do in the future with this with these particular sites where we launch a product, for example? So you can start modeling out, you know, what could happen in the future when you put certain activities together. So that's really an example of you know, trying to sort of almost, I would say, incorporate your gut feeling into AI models to be able to start validating yeah, whether that works or not.
Yeah, I love that thinking, and especially around that kind of using AI to be even more accurate at how we kind of report against ROI, and then also the connection piece as well, how you then connect it to other areas, all kind of very interesting. I think we've been talking really about the immediacy of AI and what it's provided, and it's incredibly valuable, and I love your thoughts around kind of where those conversations start within an organization. But it's without question AI is here. We see it, we all know it, we all know ChatGPT. Is it the force that's going to change the world? Is it going to eventually take over human beings with super intelligence and put us all to shame, but ultimately save the planet?
From a personal point of view, I sincerely hope not. I'm someone that likes to get away from technology and just be in the wilderness, and that's, you know, if I go on my holidays, I like to really sort of disconnect, and you know, probably want the exact opposite. But also recognizing that you just have to be, you have to be in keeping with the times, and there are actually a lot of administrative and like awful tasks that we did growing up that you think, oh, you just have to do that because that's just part of what, you know, people have to put up with. And of course, now people don't have to do that, and it's just getting more exciting in terms of what you can achieve in terms of productivity there. So I'm caught between both. I'm a big believer in, even though technology advances, you come back to the simplicity of life. If I can indulge me with an analogy, but if you look at mobile phones or cereals, for example, they get more and more complex. They have all these sort of buttons and functionalities and all the ingredients in cereals, and then you go back to something like shredded wheat that is this sort of staple that everyone really, really loves. So I think that there's going to be obviously massive productivity gains and really exciting areas, but then you're going to come back to, actually, I just want a human to be able to sort of create some really, really good content, for example. And I definitely see that in content marketing, whereas a lot of the people that are amazing AI data scientists are writing everything with ChatGPT and would never even sit down in a room and actually write something for 30 minutes. And I think we're just going to go back to that kind of world, or that is going to trump a lot of the automation that's going on.
That's actually brilliant. And shredded wheat therefore reminded me of my son. He's addicted to shredded wheat, and I can see that being a staple for his life forevermore. Tim, okay, it's not going to take over the world. We're still going to be able to get out at the weekends and enjoy the outdoors, as you were saying that. But what about maybe reducing the working week down to maybe 4 days because we've got all this automation in place?
Yeah, I'm not someone to look too much into the future. I think definitely you could reduce costs as a business. And I know that profitability is a massive challenge at the moment. So I could definitely see businesses incorporating more AI and reducing people to a 4-day week. I could definitely see that. I don't think there's going to be a lack of stuff to do. So I don't think naturally businesses would have to do that, but I think that if they want to do that to cut costs, then I definitely think opportunities like that come up more often.
That's really interesting, Tim. And what we're seeing with our own clients is kind of lots of challenges where they think that kind of AI could be helping them to solve and really improve that customer experience. What are your own thoughts and experiences of where clients kind of start? What challenges are they addressing?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. A lot of our clients have data and systems which are not connected up. They're pretty siloed. So I think looking at it from one perspective, it's going through that data maturity journey of looking to progress from, you know, what has happened to what will happen in the future. And so going into that more predictive intelligence state. Really the challenges and pain points are how to stitch all that data together and model it so that you can actually use it for strategic insights. In terms of the like commercial sponsor challenges, it could be anything from not knowing how to measure marketing spend, so you know, that speaks to a marketing attribution model. It could be lots of manual and repetitive tasks. There could be lots of reporting, say in the finance function, which is still on spreadsheets, which don't have to be done by humans. It can be automated, and then humans could obviously start like leveraging those insights to be able to work on, you know, growing the business. And then from an inventory management point of view, especially in retail, there's a lot of percentage of companies' working capital tied up in stock, and also a lot of stock outs that can be prevented by a more sort of predictive intelligence state where they can understand which products are going to sell out, what their demand forecast is, what the supplier lead times are. So they're very, very complex business challenges that are sort of prime for data and AI to be able to provide solutions.
It's fascinating, and what AI is enabling around what you're saying there, that accuracy in being able to make decisions effectively, smarter and in kind of faster and smarter ways. Fascinating stuff. That was brilliant, Tim. Really enjoyed chatting to you. Thank you so much. Learned so much more around the value that AI is bringing in efficiencies and enable people to make more accurate decisions. And obviously, clean AI are the leaders in this. So how would people kind of reach out to yourself?
Thank you very much, Bart. I really enjoyed the chat. We have a lot of thought leadership material on, you know, some case studies on our blog, on LinkedIn pages. So please do visit that, and you know, really happy to continue the conversation.
Brilliant. Thank you again, Tim. Looking forward to the next episode of Experience Matters. Thank you for listening.